crash against their weak and helpless boat. The disciples feared and wondered just how long they'd stay afloat. Just when it appeared that this was where it all would end, they saw their blessed Savior as he came to rescue them. Promises are true, but when the tide begins to rise, the winds begin to blow, I see him reaching for me, and I step out of my boat. That's when he comes walking on the water, in the midst of dark and stormy seas. Do not just call out to the Father. That's when he comes walking on the water. That's when he comes walking on the water, in the midst of dark and stormy seas. Do not fear, just call out to the Father.
Chapter 19 and verse 11. I've got a message here tonight that I get thrilled to even think about. God, let me, help me to preach it according to your infinite wisdom. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon. I'm not even sure I've ever preached that title, just that naked title. But I know it's a marvelous title. group of scriptures, and I pray God will help me to give them a little justice tonight as we just hear the word of God together. Father, the great battle of Armageddon has been used in many songs, in many poems, and many people have used it in jest. Others have used it in faith. Even Ronald Reagan used to make mention of this very subject. Father, help us tonight to understand ourselves and every one of us be able to leave here, and those that hear it on internet or by CD or DVD, that everybody that hears it will want to tell others about it, because it's one of those grand future events that just take your breath away to think about. What a day, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The battle of Armageddon. There have been many battles. If you read a little bit of history, you'll find different battles spoken of at different times that changed the course of history, that changed the course of nations. You'll find battles that literally brought empires to an end. You'll find battles that turned the whole tide of some mighty movements taking place upon this earth. Battles have always been a mood changer and a world changer and an event changer. Battles have really been marvelous events in human history. Human events. You can read the story of any war you want to read, and in most cases, there is one particular battle that set the course. One particular battle that became the known moment when all the things changed about that war. Because battles are really important events. Extremely important events. Well, I'm going to tell you, this battle changes one of the most momentous times in human history. As this battle is beginning, 7 years has been a Antichrist ruling over the world. The world has been turned into a wilderness. The city of Babylon has been destroyed. The city of Rome has been burned to the ground. Now this group of enemies of God have their eyes set on Jerusalem. They mean to get vengeance against Jerusalem because they are accusing Jerusalem, though they really didn't have much to do with it, they are accusing Jerusalem as the means of the destruction of their Babylon and their Rome. And so it's going to be a mood changer because these enemies are set. I mean, they are determined. It's a multitude of them. They've gathered from the nations of the world. They've come here to the battleground in the northern part of Israel, and they're there to finally and completely and forever end the reign of the Jews in Jerusalem. It's going to be over when they get through. They are determined, and they've got a multitude. Armies, I don't know the number. I don't know a place that the numbers are numbered, but I can tell you it's a multiplied thousands, and they're there for business. All of a sudden, something happens in the heavens, and they take on Jesus Christ. They are ready to do battle with that white horse rider who comes down out of the sky. They are ready to vanquish him if they can forever and ever. Oh, but it's a mood changer, and it's a world changer, and it's an event changer, and it's a marvelous event. It really is. Now, I'm going to just deal with this verse by verse and see if we can understand what is about to happen. You understand, the armies are gathered. They're in the Valley of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem. It's a multitude of them. The Antichrist is there, the devil is there, the false prophet is there, all these armies are there, they have a multitude, they're ready, they mean business. They have some kind of mistaken idea that they're going to win. Have you ever wondered how the devil thinks he's going to win a lot of things he's involved in messing with tonight? Have you ever realized that he actually thinks he's going to win? Read chapter 12 of Revelation, and you'll see that the Antichrist is determined. But the Bible says he knows he has but a short time. Now, I always said that knows he has but a short time to mean that it's either win it now or win it never. It's either do it now or do it never. I don't know particular that he knew he didn't have any hope of winning, but I do know that he knew that he didn't have much opportunity, much chance, and it would either be done quickly or it wouldn't get done. Does that make any sense to anybody? That's how I feel. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Well, I know this is very, very wonderful territory. Let's look at that first verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. I saw heaven opened. Now, you got to understand that. Because here you have an earth scene, and you have all these armies gathered, and you have their mind bent and set on Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, something rumbles in the heavens above. I don't know whether it's a thunder or lightning. I don't really know what they saw up there. But I know one thing. It rolled back. They saw heaven turn to an open door. They saw the sky above them roll up like a tent. And they suddenly realized heaven is opened up on us and over us. The Bible says it. And they saw heaven opened. And behold, in the midst of that great scene is one magnificent rider sitting on a white stallion. And just to look at that white stallion and that rider would be an awesome moment. It would be an awesome time. It would be an awesome event. And they saw that white horse, and he that sat upon him had a name. Now, I don't know. Did they see the name? Says, and he was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, I don't imagine that army understood all of that. I think that is data for us to understand. I think that's truth for the victors to understand. I think that's true for us to understand because we can see what this battle is all about. You're talking about a multitude. You're talking about 7 years of hell on earth. You're talking about millions that have been slain and martyred like they were nothing but dogs under the porch. You've saw things happen that takes your breath away. You've saw things coming out of the sky and judgments that are indescribable. 7 years of hell. 7 years of hell. Everybody left on the earth knew that this Antichrist and this false prophet and the devil, the unholy Trinity, was responsible for all the horror and all the destruction and all the challenge. I mean, it's all in their hands. And suddenly the heavens are open and a white horse rider. A white horse rider. Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me now, church. A white horse rider. And he comes and he has a name, Faithful. I like that name, don't you? Does anybody here know he's faithful? Does anybody here know it don't matter what happens, you can depend on this faithful one? Hallelujah. He isn't coming to make a name for himself. He already has his name. Notice that. He's called Faithful. He didn't come to make a name. He came to reveal the name he already had. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody help me. Oh, what a Christ we're talking about. His name is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's memorial stuff. You can't just take those words and discount them. He's not going to judge with the judgment of wicked people and evil people and godless people. His judgment is a righteous judgment. The world has been made a hellhole by the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist. They have done so much damage. They have destroyed so many people. They have burned cities. They have done the most vicious, evil things you can imagine. And now righteousness is fixing to act. Righteousness is fixing to speak. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be different. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, I believe they saw that. I believe when they looked up at that mighty one riding that great stallion, that white stallion, I believe they saw eyes that was literally with fire in them. They were beaming. They were marvelous. They would have been scary to wicked people. They wouldn't be scary to you and I. We'd love it. But they were scary to those wicked people. They saw his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Oh, I like that. On his head were many crowns. What are you saying? I'm telling you that the one they saw in the heavens had already won so many wars and so many battles and wrought so many victories and done so many wonderful things and was so majestic and wonderful that on his head were many crowns. Hallelujah. He was the victorious one. He wasn't just the one who won one battle at Sodom and Gomorrah. He wasn't just one who won one battle in the day of the flood of Noah. He wasn't just one who won battles with Israel when they fought the enemies of the land of heathens. He is the one who's won every battle he's ever fought. He's won every victory he's ever been involved in. Many crowns. Woo! Hallelujah. Many crowns. Many crowns. And he had a name written. A name written. That no man knew but he himself. Now I want to tell you something. Hallelujah. There is so many great things about him and so many wonderful names about him. But here's a name that nobody knows but he himself. The Father gave him a name which is above every name. And now that name that the Father gave him that nobody knew but he, Christ, on that day he arrived back in the heavenly city after the resurrection. Hallelujah. But now finally he's there to manifest that name the Father gave him when he arrived back after the resurrection. I like that. After the resurrection, he was given a name above all names. But we don't know what that is. It's not just Jesus. That's a marvelous name for the here and now. That's a marvelous name for the church. That's the greatest name you can imagine in the judgment of men. But here's a name of triumph, a name of victory, a name of glory, a name of majesty, a name beyond all names. Nobody's ever heard it. Nobody knows it. But he knows it. And he's here to manifest it. He's here to make it real. He's here to make it real. Listen now. Listen now. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. I want to tell you, he isn't coming just in the power of a fleshly Jesus. Oh, he isn't just coming in the power of a glorified Jesus. He's coming in the power of blood that he spilled on the cross of Calvary. He doesn't just look majestic. He does. He doesn't just look glorious, and he does, but he's wearing a garment that's dipped in blood so that the victory of the hour is the death of the cross. The victory of the hour is the death of the cross. You wonder why God's people glory in the cross? It's because it isn't just something that saves us. It isn't just something that sanctifies us. It isn't just great power by which we live holy and righteous. It's a power that's going to rid this world of the devil and all of his armies. Hallelujah. And we're going to reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand and love on him a minute. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hold it up, will you? His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Communications of God. His name is every word that's ever been written in a Bible. His name is every word that's ever been spoken by the Holy Ghost. His word and his name is everything God's ever said. His name and his word is everything God ever did. I'm telling you, there's victory in this word. There's victory in this word. Hallelujah. But I just can't help but love the next part. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Now we know. All this language is breathtaking. We know it's all full of great symbolism, much bigger than just the words we're speaking. And when it speaks of a sword going out of his mouth, it's talking about the power of this gospel, this holy Bible going forth from him. We see people today and they reject the Bible. They reject the things you say about God and the Bible. They reject everything they hear that conflicts with their lifestyle and their desires. They want to live like they please. It don't matter what the Bible says. Donald Trump this week came against the laws in North Carolina that protects our mothers and daughters from a transvestite walking into their ladies' bathroom, and he didn't know what he was doing. He was walking on holy ground. He was walking on a territory that belongs to God and the majesty of heaven. And I'm telling you, the words that go forth out of his mouth will put all of that to judgment. Will you give the Lord a little hand? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the arm, I'm sorry, and he was clothed with a vest dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And that's me, and that's you. If you make it in that rapture, if you live a godly life, if you're part of the bride of Jesus Christ, if you're set apart in his glory and his righteousness, hallelujah, you're going to be in this army. I don't know what that does to you. That makes me so ready for God to use me up. It makes me so ready for God to take every ounce of me and use it for his kingdom and his honor. I don't want to faint in this flesh to be for Joe Chambers. I want it to be for him, because I'm looking forward to that glorious moment, that great day when he gives me my white horse and I get on my horse. Hallelujah. And behind the great master, we come in the glories of heaven. Hallelujah. We're fixing to take over this thing down here. You listen to me. Those politicians who think they're big and mighty and they can do such great things, they probably won't do a third of what they promise. But I'm here to tell you, everything he promised will happen, just like he said. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not going to leave anything untouched or unchanged or undefeated. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. And we come riding with him. See, most church people have no idea what the future holds for the saint of God. They have no idea. They act like being a Christian is just another business deal. Just another matter that if I serve him, he'll turn my emptiness into gold and he'll make me rich. And I can't understand none of that. Hallelujah. I'm already rich. I don't need to be made rich. Hallelujah. I've already got a golden streak to walk on. I don't need gold down here. Hallelujah. Somebody would steal it. I'd have to fight for it if I had it down here. But oh, hallelujah. Church, listen to me. We've got a future that's breathtaking. We got a future that's breathtaking. And so he's riding on a white horse. His name is everything you can imagine. Out of his mouth is going a sharp two-edged sword. He's riding a white stallion that is breathtaking. And we're coming with him. I love that. Hallelujah. And the army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Do you think that's literal? I do. How many of you think heaven's got enough white horses for all the great saints to ride on? If they don't, they'll just speak them into existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He created the first ones. He should sure create a bunch more. What a day that's going to be. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, or a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. Now, you understand. 7 years of hell on earth. There are still many wicked people that are still living. All that crowd that took the mark of the beast, they're fixing to be judged. But there's another crowd that didn't take the mark. I don't know how they survived. I don't have no understanding of that. I don't need to understand it. I just go by the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, there's a world full of wicked people. And the Lord is coming to set a rule over them, and it will be a theocracy, a godly theocracy, a theocracy ruled over by Jesus Christ. It will cover everything from north to south and east to west. It will be a worldwide theocracy, and it will be under Jesus Christ. It won't be under some preacher from down at PTL. It won't be from some preacher out in Oklahoma. It'll be, I want to tell you something, it'll be the Lord himself sitting on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And he comes to set up his kingdom, and he comes to rule the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword. With it he shall smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now that's a breathtaking statement. Study the Bible. It talks about judgment all the way from the first to the end. God's always had a picture in his Bible of judgment. I just read today where the Bible, Isaiah speaking, said, when God's judgments are in the earth, the world will learn righteousness. Do you hear me? This fierce judgment that will be enacted in the valley of Megiddo by Jesus, the Bible actually says he chases the Antichrist all the way to the gates of Babylon. Chases the Antichrist to the gates of Babylon. And he slays him in the gates of Babylon. Then he comes from the east, which is where Babylon is, and comes to Jerusalem to set up his kingdom on this earth. When he sets his foot on that great mount from which he ascended 2,000 years ago, the Bible said it splits asunder between his feet and out gushes a river of living water. Hallelujah. And it begins to gush forth. And as it gushes forth, there's a transformation that occurs, and Jerusalem becomes a valley instead of a mountain. Not a dry valley, not a desert. Land, but a glorious garden, and it will become the palace of the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. The great battle of Armageddon. It changes everything dark the devil has planned. It changes everything ugly the devil has done. It changes everything mean and vicious that the Antichrist has wrought. It brings righteousness to the earth. It brings the kingdom of God upon this world. It changes history. Think about that. You're talking about a history-changing event. This great war of Armageddon. This great war of Armageddon. And we could be as close to 7 years for that war to occur. 7 years. 7 years. The rapture. 7 years of the great tribulation. And this is the changing event at the end of those 7 years of the great tribulation. This gets this world ready to be a kingdom of God for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. The lion and the lamb will lay down together. Hallelujah. A little child can play on the den of a cockatrice. I'm telling you, it'll be war no more. And the harvesters will outchase the planters. The earth will become a place of such beauty and the station of tremendous value. I mean, you talk about a world that's a garden of Eden from the north to the south. We are talking about something great. And it's going to happen at any moment. Soon as that 7-year tribulation period is over. I can almost imagine. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm going to be in heaven and I can see it from above. And I'm glad I'm going to be up there so I can come back with him. And I'm glad I'll have a glorified body. Don't ever have to worry about sickness or sin or any of the mess that goes with this crazy world. Oh, what a day that's going to be. How many of you want to be part of that battle of Armageddon? How many of you want to ride a white horse on that blessed day? How many are looking forward to that? Would you stand? Would you stand? What a chapter in God's Bible. What a chapter. What a truth. What a magnificent thing that the hour is coming that we, saints of God, I don't know how big the multitude of the bride will be, but I'll tell you one thing. Most people aren't living in preparation for that. It's going to be a set apart crowd. It's going to be a godly, holy living crowd. It's going to be people that are sold out to Jesus, and everything they are belongs to Him. Hallelujah. All day long, all evening long, I've been saying, Lord, just use me up. Just use me up. Use me until there's nothing else to use, and then just take me home, because I'm getting ready for that blessed day of the Battle of Armageddon. I'm really excited about being part of that battle. Led by the Christ Himself. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for the hope. Gotta understand this Bible like I've never understood it. I've got to have more of it springing out of me and coming forth out of these lips. Father God, we are at the last hour. There's not much time left, Lord. Get us ready. Meet me on this altar, would you? Let's just spend a little time praying. Get a mic there, Brother Marlon, so you can lead us. When you're finished, give it over to Brother Derek. Let him lead us. Let's pray a little bit, would you? Don't be in a hurry. Come here and seek the great God of heaven. Love Him with all of your heart. Lead us in prayer.
Father, we're looking forward to all that You have for those that love You and obey You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, You said to them that endure to the end, Lord, all these promises, Lord, are for them that hold true, that stand fast, Lord, that are faithful unto the very end, Father. Lord, we can never outdo Your faithfulness. You are the Father of faithfulness, of truth. Every promise is yea and amen. And Father, every promise is to them that love You, that obey You, that serve You, that endure to the end, Father.
Pray, church, pray.
Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. Make us to see and perceive and understand that, Lord, there's a fight to fight. There's a victory to be won, Father. And that we must be victorious in this life. Lord, that we might appear there with You in those clouds of glory.
Hallelujah.
That we might be caught up to be with Thee evermore, Father.
Hallelujah.
And that in that great day that the preacher preached tonight, Lord, that we, oh God, by Your love and by Your grace and by that mercy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ Himself, that we might mount up, Lord, with Him, to follow Him, Lord, to come back to this earth, Lord, to watch Him be victorious over every wickedness, to judge sin in its fullness, God, to reign on this earth for that 1,000 years, and that, Lord, while we come back with Him, we won't be participants in that battle. For He is the Lord. He needs no help. He by Himself will defeat every devil, every wickedness, every evil. And Father, we will only be spectators, Father.
Hallelujah.
But yet when it's over, the Bible says that we shall reign and rule with Him on this earth for 1,000 years, Father. And I'm looking forward to that, Lord.
Oh, I am,
Lord. I want to be that servant, Lord, that Thou art pleased with, that I can love Him and serve Him and follow Him, that I can make righteousness to prevail upon this earth along with Him for 1,000 years to show the world what it is to love the Lord and serve the Lord and do righteously, Father. And I glory in that, and I thank You for it, Lord. And that is my hope and my expectation, Lord. Glory and honor and praise be unto my Lord that will bring it to pass. I glory in Thee, Lord, and I thank You for it, Lord. And I thank You for Your word tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I thank You for the encouragement of it, Lord.
Yes.
I thank You for the hope that it stirs within my heart, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for the promises, Lord, that are yet to be received to them that love You and serve You, Lord. I have so much to look forward to, God. Lord, while in this life there's trouble, there's tribulation, there's trials, there's hard places. Oh, God, but I see a day coming, Father. I see a day coming when righteousness will prevail. and holiness and righteousness and purity
out for Jesus.
Will be the way of life, Father.
Hallelujah.
And I glory in that,
Hallelujah.
Father. And I
Hallelujah.
Look forward to that, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, I see that life that's here and now won't even be worth mentioning there and then, Father.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, I praise
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Everybody pray. Everybody pray. What a day, Father, what a day.
We thank you tonight, and we praise you, Father. You are the sovereign God. You are the mighty God. The awesome God, the powerful God. You are the Alpha, the Omega. You are the beginning, and you are the end, O God. You are the breasted one, O God. You're the one that was worthy, O God. You're the one, Lord Jesus, that was worthy to open up the book. And therein, there were names written therein, O God. Father, it is our desire, O God, to please you. It is our desire to be more like you, Father. It is our desire to do your will, O God. It's our desire, mighty God, to be a beacon of light to a dying world, to a dying generation, O God. We're just seasoned enough, Lord. We're just believing you, O God, that in this time, Lord, there'll become a gathering of people, O God. There'll be a gathering of saints, O God. And we're just believing, O God, for a mighty move of the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight, and we praise you tonight, O God. We cry out unto you, Father, as your word says, Father, if my people who are called by thy name, O God, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, O God, then will you hear from heaven, you forgive our sins, O God. Tonight, Father, we're crying, O God. We're petitioning you, Lord God. We're coming to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, to send revival, to release a revival in the earth, O God. We realize, Father, that we're in a battle, O God, but we understand something about the battle. The battle don't belong unto us, but it belongs unto thee, O God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we shall lift up the bloodstained
Hallelujah.
Banner of
Hallelujah.
The Lord Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ, because your word
Hallelujah.
Tells us, Father,
Hallelujah.
If you be lifted Hallelujah. Up, Father,
Hallelujah.
You will draw all men
oh,
unto
Hallelujah.
You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we lift
Everybody
up
raise
the name
hand
of Jesus. We lift
Hallelujah.
Up the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. Everywhere
Hallelujah.
We go,
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Be exalted.
Hallelujah.
We lift you
Hallelujah.
Here. We lift you in our homes. We lift you on our jobs. We lift you, Lord Jesus, to be glorified
oh.
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father,
Hallelujah.
We come tonight.
Hallelujah.
We pray,
oh
God. We're crying out to you, Lord God. We're petitioning you, Lord God. We're looking unto the hills which come our life, our health, and our strength, Lord God. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for what you're doing, Father, not only from Paul Creek, but God, let the revival begin in us, God. Move in this place. Move, God, in Charlotte. Move in North Carolina. Move, oh God, in this nation. Move in the presidency, Lord. Move, oh God. Your word tells us, Father, to pray for those that have rule and authority over us, God. We're praying for our president. We're praying for the next president that would be elected, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for the legislation here in North Carolina, Lord God, that they will pass laws that come in line with your word, Father. In the name of Jesus, we are the church. We are your people, and we're calling upon you. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, Father. In the name of Jesus, we know, God, that you caused time to stand still when the prophet of God began to petition you, when Elijah began to call upon you, Lord. You caused the sun to stand still. Lord, you're the same yesterday and today and forever, God. What you did then, you're still doing it, oh God. Now, Father, we're just reminding you of your word. We're just a faithful few here at Paul Creek, but one can chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000. So, Lord, we thank you that you're putting our enemy to flight in the name of Jesus. God, be praised.
Hallelujah.
Be glorified and
Hallelujah.
Be magnified. Bless,
Hallelujah.
Father, Pastor Chambers, oh God, in a profound and a special way, God, for his stance and for his position with you, Lord. Continue to pour upon him, God. Continue to indwell him with your presence, oh God. And we thank you, Father, for Mother Chambers, Lord. Continue to strengthen her body.
Do it,
Lord, release your healing power
through
her body, mighty God.
Use us up
in the name of Jesus, Lord. She is a working miracle, Lord. But God, continue to move upon her, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Father, release your healing power upon her body, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for Brother Buck. We pray for your healing power to be upon him, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, petition, Lord, begin to move in his eyes, oh God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Lord God, strengthen every part of his body, oh God. Now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord God, that your word declares signs and wonders shall follow them, oh God. Signs and wonders shall follow them that believe in you, Father. And we thank you for a mighty move of the Spirit of God, Father. Bless Brother Marlon, bless Sister Dolores, God, bless Sister Yvette, bless Brother Dylan, God, in the name of Jesus, God, begin to move, begin to open doors, begin to cause things to happen, God, let revival come in the name of Jesus, Father, begin to turn this community here where we sit at Park Creek, turn it upside down in the name of Jesus, Father, we know that we stand on holy ground, but let this community becomes holy around us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father. We cry out to you, oh God. We're not satisfied until you move, oh God. We thank you for moving heaven down to earth, Father. Your word declares, let heaven come, let thy kingdom come. Lord, as it is in heaven, so shall it be in the earth, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say hallelujah, a glory or something. Hallelujah. 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 How many believe God's going to move? How many believe God's going to really move? Going to shake this place. Hallelujah. You say, well, the chambers, it don't look like it tonight. You don't supposed to look at it and decide what God's going to do. You believe. Hallelujah. You believe. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Tell mama we're glad to have a home. Don't leave daddy no more. Hallelujah.
Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm's raging, they wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. Well, to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I used to feel trouble. My sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed. Then his tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up. Even when I'm tested and I'm tried, I'll not waste time down, and I'm gonna go on shouting across to the winning side. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered.